Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. At the start of the new year, you probably made a bunch of resolutions for both your personal and your work life. Maybe the two even dovetail, like getting better organized or focusing on the things that really matter, meditating, not letting email control your life. Okay, well, maybe those are just my resolutions, but you get the point. New year, new resolutions. But now it's several weeks into the new year, and how you doing with those goals? Drop some? Maybe all of them? Well, if you did, don't beat yourself up. There is still time to pick them back up and recommit, which is why I asked Tomas Tromato to join me. He's a professor of business psychology at University College London and a frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, despite some of our best intentions, why don't we succeed in accomplishing the goals we set out for ourselves at the start of the year?
I think mostly because they are goals that relate to changing habits that have formed for a long time period. And these are things that aren't just, you know, small, tiny habits, but the things that maybe have been subconsciously rewarded for a number of years. So, I mean, and if you really look at most of the things people try to change, health-related habits, things relating to their careers, relationships, I mean, these are habits that have accumulated for so long that they really form part of people's generic or broad personality.
So they're much broader. They're almost too big to try and change.
It's a little bit like trying to change your very nature. And although that's possible, it does require a lot of work and many years.
So then a lot of it is about choosing the right resolutions, right?
A lot of it is. And first of all, it's important to pick things that are fairly ambitious, but not unachievable. It's also important to pick things that really can be broken down into manageable behaviors. And I think, you know, 90% of the resolutions people make, people are very happy to achieve the end goal or the outcome, but not necessarily to commit to everything they need to do to achieve that. Okay, so for example, if I wanted to quit smoking or quit drinking, I probably decided to be a non-smoker or a non-drinker, but I don't want to go through what it takes to achieve that. And therefore, in reality, if you look at it, I don't genuinely want to quit smoking or drinking.
So then how do you set the right goals and make sure that you have the right tactics in a way to get there?
The important thing is, number one, to prioritize. Don't pick too many things. Pick one or two so that you can focus on them. If you have too many, then the list becomes self-defeating. Second one, it's good to commit to others so that they participate in the process. And just like when you tell people that you're running a marathon, you know, you are committing. So it's harder to give up because you feel ashamed if you do. Third, seek constant feedback. Now, whether it's your physician, a nutritionist, a scale, your partner, your friends, but monitor your performance all the time. And number four, and perhaps most importantly, be ready for setbacks and don't give up when you experience the first setback. So it might be that there are some glitches, but it doesn't mean that you have to completely abandon the resolutions because let's face it, I mean, the New Year's date is arbitrary in the first place.
So what do you do then if you set some of these goals, especially in the workplace, dealing with coworkers or other things like that, and it's already failed? You know, a couple of weeks into the year, what can you do to restart or get yourself back on track on those resolutions?
The important thing is to understand that you might not have failed because on the whole, if out of 3 or 4 weeks since I started, I have improved my typical behavior, it doesn't matter if at some point I made a mistake because I have to keep on doing it. So if my resolution is to be nice to my colleagues and I have an argument, but on the whole, I've had less arguments in these past 3 or 4 weeks, then I'm still doing better. It's no point abandoning it. A little bit like when you're dieting or trying to control your food habits. Well, maybe you had the occasional burger or you binge up, but it doesn't mean that you have to abandon it completely because this is a 6 or 12 months process in most cases.
Well, when it comes to making changes in our lives, is part of the problem that we focus so much on things like, I'm going to eat better, I'm not going to drink as much, I'm not going to get mad at my coworkers, and we don't necessarily come up with resolutions that actually build on some of the strengths that we already have?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think, you know, the strengths-focused movement or approach makes some sense, because it is a lot easier to leverage your typical tendencies already and become better at what you're already good at. So, I mean, I like that about the strengths movement. At the same time, I think there is a clear disadvantage or logical flaw in that movement, which is that it often is used as an excuse for people to just completely neglect what they're not doing right, you know, what they're doing wrong. And if you only focus on your strengths, you know, you would probably suffer from some derailers or toxic tendencies.
You're avoiding dealing with the more negative traits of your personality.
Exactly, absolutely. So in the world of sports, for example, professional athletes do get better by working on the strengths, but at the same time, they do try to minimize their weaknesses.
So if you've set up a goal and it seems realistic that you might actually be able to accomplish it, what's the next step you should do?
Well, the next step is obviously, you know, then the actual change program starts. You need to have quite a robust and reliable plan on how to monitor whether you are improving, whether you are achieving it or not.
So you need to like set out particular goals,
absolutely.
Like by week one I'll do this, mm-hmm. week four I'll do that.
Break it down into micro behaviors, daily habits, and then monitor both things, the kind of short-term and long-term progress. And then most importantly, because probably 20 or 30% of people will accomplish these goals that they set, at least for New Year's resolution. Most importantly is maintain it afterwards. That's the very, very difficult thing once you achieve it. If you're lucky enough to achieve your resolutions, is to maintain them so that in 4 or 5 years' time, you don't have to make the same resolutions again.
Yeah, I think, how do you maintain it after a while? I mean, maybe that's even harder than starting up something.
It is very hard, because if we're looking at a typical process whereby it takes 3 or 4 months to achieving those goals, and most people, again, don't get there, then
depressing.
But that's the reality, and I think being realistic about it, it's beneficial. But for those who do accomplish the resolutions, there's probably another 3 or 4 years, if they can get there, until these new habits feel like natural tendencies or part of your typical behaviors or personality.
And if it's just not working out, if you're trying to diet or you're trying to be nicer at work or whatever the goal that you set for yourself, if it's just not working out, do you just give up?
Well, the important thing is to try, obviously, as hard as you can. Sometimes, you have to give up, because it's self-defeating to keep trying to do something that is very difficult. But maybe you can approach the same end goal through something else, you know. So if for example, my resolution relates to being nicer to my boss, and I try and I try and I try, and he or she makes it impossible, maybe I need to change bosses or change jobs and try to, you know, approach the situation.
Or revise your resolution.
Exactly. Well, or maybe, you know, there are other ways in which one can have a positive relationship with their manager, maybe not just in this case scenario.
And how important do you think it is to tell other people what your resolutions are?
Very important, I think. You know, sharing our resolutions with others makes them part of the process. Certainly, most people tend to share them with close friends, family, partners, colleagues, and these are people who typically care about us. So they will try to encourage us, try to incentivize us. And in difficult times, when we might not experience direct benefits from this change process, that might be quite rewarding and keep us going.
But I have to say, there's a little bit of nervousness if I think about trying to share goals that I have. I'm afraid that they're judging me when I don't actually accomplish them. Like, oh, you said you wanted to do this particular thing at work or go to the gym more regularly and you didn't. Yeah, I guess you couldn't keep up with it.
Well, I mean, that's not an unusual scenario. You know, some people are more self-critical of themselves, obviously, than others are of them. So, if you don't need others to tell you that you're doing something wrong, then there's not much incentive in sharing your resolutions with others.
Tomas, thank you.
Thank you.
Tomas Tremoro is a professor of business psychology at University College London and the author of Confidence, The Surprising Truth About How Much You Need It. And he's also the VP of Research at Hogan Assessments. If you found a way to commit to your New Year's resolutions, let us know. You can send us an email. The address is moneytalking@wnyc.org. We'd love to know how you do it. Or let us know what sort of workplace advice you'd like to hear more about. Don't forget, you can find these regular talks with contributors to the Harvard Business Review by subscribing to the Money Talking podcast, available on iTunes. And when you're there, give us a review. It really helps get the word out. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.